Welcome to Gravity, a podcast on the environment and human rights issues from the local to the global.
The little Aegean island of Tilos has a huge heart. Never mind the beautiful beaches or an enchanting sunset that makes Santorini's yard look mundane, or ancient pygmy elephants, or the history of overcoming conquest and preserving democracy. Tilos is still making history and looking to an equitable, sustainable future planted in democracy and planetary health. Tilos has long made progressive strides. In 2008, the island performed the first same-sex marriages in Greece, in defiance of the unjust law that didn't recognize marriage equality. Greece only recognized marriage equality in February 2024. It's the first Christian Orthodox country to do so. Tilos was the first island in Greece to commit to renewable energy. Under the visionary and compassionate leadership of Mayor Maria Kama Eliferi, Tilos ditched dirty diesel for wind and solar energy. In the low season, Tilos makes more energy than it can use. Tilos recently celebrated its first anniversary of being certified as a circular economy, the first in the entire world. There's no landfill on Tilos. Everything is recycled, refurbished, upcycled, reused, composted, or used for heat energy. Mayor Maria is not only a climate leader, she's also a compassionate and thoughtful leader that opened her island to refugees. Maria welcomed people joining the community, understanding strength in diversity, and also benefits to the local economy. Too many times, the issue of refugees continues to be painted as one of balancing charity without burdening local resources. This not only misses the point, but contributes to noxious narratives of refugees simply living off local resources. People forced to leave their home want to start another. They don't want charity, but community and the ability to participate in and contribute to it. Maria is a true leader. Prior to implementing her visions, she gets community buy-in, as any good leader should. After all, our representatives are meant to represent our interests, not pander to us or be paternalistic. As we face a future with more environmental disasters, epidemics, and migration, we need inspirational, visionary, compassionate, and responsive leaders like Maria. In July, I went to Tilos to interview Maria and her communications and press manager, Jenny Yiannopoulou, and we discussed how the tiny island of Tilos is making a big future. Welcome to Gravity, Maria.
Hello.
Ευχαριστούμε πάρα πολύ που ήρθες στην πρόγραμμα.
Εγώ χαίρομαι που σας βλέπω.
Tilos is the first certified circular economy island, but it also, prior to its circular economy program, was one of the first islands in the world to be renewable. And the way that you did that was a combination of wind and solar energy with batteries. And it appears that now not only do you have enough energy to power the island, but you might have, due to seasonal load differences, excess energy that you could sell back to the mainland. And if you could please tell our audience how you started this program and developed the hybrid energy grid, how you chose the places to protect biodiversity and minimize its impact to biodiversity, and how you have not only energy sustainability and security, but perhaps cheaper energy.
Ουσιαστικά ξεκίνησε από την,
before we were connected, and we're still connected with underwater cables to the main network, which is in Kos, and we have in between Nisiro. So we are like the last spot of the network, and whatever problems there were there, they were ending causing problems to us. We had shortages, we had blackouts, we had shortages, blackouts, no steady power, sometimes days without electricity. We had lots of problems. And that was one of the reasons and the main reason we started doing it. The other reason is that for more than 30 years now, this island and this municipality is geared towards sustainability, of protection of the environment. And in order to protect the environment, you have to live in a healthy environment. So we are always looking out. So that was the second reason we started doing it. And we cooperated with the University of West Attica, and we are very proud that this project was designed by Greek students and Greek professors. And we had people from all over the world that came to use it as a case study, and we had even American senators that came here to look at it and transfer the knowledge to their places and use it as an example. And also, we don't know if you heard of the GR Echo Islands, or how we call them, Greco Islands, which are based on this project, on our pilot project, which, like you know, it's the first one in Europe, this type of hybrid project. And the Greco Islands are based on it, so we gave the chance to other small islands in Greece to use it and slowly become also sustainable and use renewable sources of energy. So that's how it started. We've been using it for many years now, and sometimes we are almost at 80% throughout the year. In the winter is more than 100, so we have excess. And in the summer, with the tourism, is a little bit less, but still it's enough to sustain the whole island.
It's interesting that it's not just one problem and one solution for one problem. For instance, it's not just reducing emissions for climate change, but it is also for cheaper energy and for energy security, because you used to have blackouts when you were connected to the grid. Now, it seems that when you think of Greece, you think of wind and solar, and just the capacity is so huge. And yet Greece has been using lignite coal and other very inefficient and dirty sources for a long time. And it was only in 2006 that Greece really committed to an earnest program. But when it did so, it started in the mainland, and the islands were not connected to the mainland grid. And most of the islands weren't. And so they were running on fossil fuels and dirty diesel and so forth. Why do you think that Greece had such a dirty economy? As I've been reading, that it could be corruption that caused high energy prices and dirty energy. And that is changing, thankfully, but there are still many problems that the islands face.
Stop, I thought it's an occasion.
Unfortunately, the inhabitants of Tilos don't have cheap energy. We pay as much as the rest of mainland. No reductions, no discounts, no nothing. Because the Greek system, the Greek law system, hasn't yet predicted a law system that covers that, those projects. Because it's a sole proprietor, which is they are the energy.
The state energy company.
Yeah. So they don't have different pricing for islands like ours that produce their own energy. So basically, we produce our own energy and we don't benefit from it economically, financially. So you understand, we didn't do it to save money. We don't save money, and people don't save money. So we didn't do it for that. For the philosophy of it. But it would be nice to have, you know, something from it. But our laws don't cover it. So we could benefit financially only if we create an energy community. But there is no space for energy community. We will do it. We are planning on doing it. But there is no space for the energy community to get financial profits and benefits. It is crazy.
Oh, it's crazy.
So we could actually give even electricity. If you think of the underwater cables, right?
Yeah.
So it's a back and forth.
Yeah.
So we supply.
Yeah.
And we give our access to the either islands, Kos and Nisiros, and everywhere it goes. We take only in the summer some, but we have given plenty, and we don't benefit one single cent from it. Not the municipality, not the island, not the people.
Okay, I was very ignorant of that. I assumed if you make your own energy, then you don't have to pay, because I know energy is very costly in Greece. Mm-hmm. So I thought with the autonomous system and selling it back as well, that you would get cheaper energy along with the other benefits. This is insane.
Yeah, and I will add something to it.
And unjust.
Let's say we have a blackout here. We have to wait until they give us the permission to hit the button so we can have our own energy supply the island. Yeah.
No words for that. Yeah. That is so inefficient. And what is the purpose of that? It's just so the state energy company controls everybody's
exactly,
energy.
Exactly.
Crazy indeed. I'm very surprised and disappointed by that. But in terms of the philosophy, as we were saying, the combating climate change, which we all need to do our part, and in environmental protection. So sometimes cutting emissions and creating renewable energy structures can conflict with environmental protection. There's vociferous opposition to some areas in Greece for accelerating renewable energy structures, particularly offshore wind farms, to protect biodiversity. Here, there's one wind farm, or one turbine, really. It's 800 kilowatts, I believe, and that is sufficient with the solar energy. How did you pick the location of the wind turbine, and did you look at minimizing impact for biodiversity in deciding where to place it?
Λοιπόν, πολύ καλή ερώτηση.
Very good question.
Το νησί μας.
So we are included in the Natura 2000, our island and all the small islands around. So when you are declared as Natura, the laws are strict and the regulations are strict on what you can or you can do in order to protect the environment, not harm it in any way and not wound it in any way or insult it in any way.
Ευρωπαϊκοί κανόνες.
European rules.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Οπότε καταλαβαίνεις ότι για να
So in order to do the Tilos project beforehand, we had to take much research, a lot of permits, a lot of permits to make sure that nothing in the environment is going to be harmed. They went all through the Natura regulation system, and we have for each aspect of the project, we had to take specific permits in order to keep the balance and the safety. So we had organizations and specialists give us permits and make sure that, for example, the birds that come here don't go through that spot, or it's not dangerous for them where the wind turbine is, or the spot where the solar panels are. They don't harm the biodiversity of the island, which has a lot of biodiversity. So only after every detail was checked and double checked, and we were taking a permit, only after that we went through with the project. In the study of the permit, there were specific regulations and a specific study that stated, because they had to dig, because of that, they had to plant some things and specific things, and where to plant them to restore the damage of the digging. It was in the contract, it was in the permit, and we did that as well. So it was strictly, the whole thing was guided by the municipality and overlooked by the municipality.
Wonderful, as it should be, because that's what we want. We want clean energy, but we want to do it in a sustainable way, and also taking into account the local biodiversity. I went to the wind turbine, where you're allowed to go, and I saw the goats there, and I was surprised by how silent it was.
It is a medium-sized one, and so it's not from the big ones that really make a lot of noise.
Yeah.
It's a medium-sized one.
Pleasantly.
Σε καμία περίπτωση, Αλεξάνδρα, δεν θα τυχόμασταν.
We would never accept our island to be an industrial park. we would never accept to do that just for some company or whatever to profit for money. We solely did it for the whole philosophy, for the whole benefit.
With energy consumption increasing, with a rise in tourism, the autonomous grid that you have now, will it be able to sustain an increase in seasonal loads?
So, like I told you before, right now it's 100% most of the month, and during the peak season it's at 75-80%. In order to be able to have more energy with increasing tourism, it would be as easy as adding a few more solar panels. But to be honest, it would annoy me, like the view of it, it would annoy me. I would prefer to add another small wind turbine with the same capacity, 800 kilowatts. And I don't think it would damage the aesthetic because we have only one, so another one. And if we have a second one, we can really cover any increase of the tourism on our island.
And what would you do with excess energy? Store it in the battery? Because batteries still have limited capacity. So would you sell it to
others? That's what we do now. That's what we do now. We store it in the batteries and we provide it to the underwater cables like always.
And not only is Tilos a renewable energy island, but you have a circular economy. And last year, so Chronia Pola, it's your first anniversary of being certified as... a circular economy.
The first zero waste
island in the entire world, which I think is Poliora. It's amazing. And what got us into all these problems with not just climate change, but environmental pollution is that we don't understand planetary boundaries. And we have rapacious extraction and waste. But if we look at the circular economy, limiting waste, recycling, upcycling, regenerating, refurbishing, and how to use waste, for instance, to heat and move back into the economy, we will be able to have a sustainable future. And Tilos has done that. So please, if you can tell our audience how you started on the plan of the circular economy, how you worked Polygreen in a public-private partnership to develop the circular economy here and how it works.
We know that the land that we live on is not ours. We borrow it, we use it, but it's not ours. It belongs to the next generations. And in order for us to have it for the next generations, we have to do something while we borrow it. To protect it. And we have always been in this mindset. We have always done things towards this direction. The Tilos project we just talked about, the banning of hunting altogether since the 90s. We have done all things that we do are towards this direction. We want to live on a healthy environment and we want to leave a healthy environment for the next generations. So Mr. Polychronopoulos from Polygreen heard about what we're trying to do here and he came in touch. So Mr. Polychronopoulos called me and said, how would you like for you to complete my vision? And she goes, what's your vision? To make your island zero waste. And I have to say something here. She told me that the first thing she thought was, is he crazy or is he drunk? And yeah, how would you like to have no waste, no waste bins, recycle everything, circular economy? And she goes, how are we going to do that? How is it possible to do that? So he explained to me his vision. He explained to me the way we would go about it. And I said, you know, wow, it sounds too good to be true. But the risk was big because until that point, we had the regular, you know, landfill system for the waste. And the biggest risk was that if we started, we wouldn't be able to go back to it. So it was success or destruction. And it was a system that we had not seen anywhere in the world. And yeah, we had seen recycling systems in other countries for many years now, but nothing like that. So I won't hide that I was scared a little bit because it was a big risk. I talked about it with, of course, the council here, the town council, and I talked with the people. And when we voted on it with the council, it wasn't unanimous. It wasn't unanimous. My party, they all voted yes. The other party voted white. So not yes, not no. It just, I just don't want to take the responsibility. Not even for my vote. Mm-hmm. Not even for my vote. Just present. That's what they voted. Present. Mm. But since it was the majority, the party that voted yes, they started doing it.
Είπαμε να πάρουμε το ρίσκο, γιατί χωρίς ρίσκο δεν πετυχαίνει.
Yeah, because without risk, you can't win. If you don't risk, you do nothing.
Κάτι πρέπει να κάνεις.
Yeah, εντάξει.
You gotta do something, yeah.
Agreed. And what I've seen is that there's a lot of community buy-in, a lot of environmental literacy that you're working on, which I find quite admirable, so that the community can participate and the community has information as to why this is good for Tilos, why this is good for the world and why you should continue to do this.
Αυτό είναι αλήθεια. Κοινωνία πρώτα απ' όλα.
So that's what we do. When we have an idea, first we take it to the people.
Σε όλα το κάνουμε αυτό.
First we take it to the people and we explain it to them. They understand it. We make sure they understand it. We try to make them make it their own, the idea, like fully understand it and fully go with it. And then they end up pressuring us to do it. It's like, okay, you explained it, now give it to us. And that's the secret. You can't force and enforce to the people to do something because you have an idea. You have to explain it to them and have them make it their own. That's our secret, and that's what we always do with everything.
Right, and then you actually get partners.
Ναι, ναι,
they
ναι.
Do the work for you.
Ναι. Και με το...
We did the same thing with the banning of hunting in the 90s, like I told you, again with the people, and Tilos Project, and the whole migration program that we had here, and the big migration wave that we did have here, how to handle it, again with the people, and with the zero waste. So we basically do it with every big decision.
Some of our audience don't understand what a circular economy is. They don't understand what not having a landfill is, and instead having a circular economy innovation center where you can separate all the different, what used to be scopidia, what used to be rubbish and is now going to compost or is going to be refurbished, is going to be recycled or is going into heat waste. So if you could just provide more detail as to how things are separated, sorted, and then taken to be used for compost, energy, upcycled or recycled.
We'll tell you how we do it here.
Okay. Η ανακύκλωση, ο διαχωρισμός που κάνει...
So the separation, it's a little bit different than what you heard before for recycling. At our homes and businesses, it's very easy, very, very easy. We have one bag with recyclable, one non-recyclable, one with organics. That's it.
Αυτό, μόνο αυτό. Οπότε είναι πολύ εύκολο.
Yeah, it's
πολύ
easy εύκολο. For anyone to learn. The oldest people or the youngest people.
The youngest
people.
Child, yeah.
Yeah. So it's very easy. You don't have to know, oh, this is this kind of plastic this kind of glass. Just recyclable, non-recyclable, organics. Finished.
And I saw on the beach you don't just have three different levels. You have mixed metals, plastic cartons, organic waste. There were six different places.
But not at home.
But not at home. No, at
home,
home.
Three.
No. Yes.
Three plus one box for the cigarette butts.
Yes, on the beach too. I saw that.
Yeah. So three plus a little box. And they are collected. Three times during the winter, four times in the summer. So every other day. No. In the week. So it's every other day. Yeah, in businesses it's 2 times a day.
Because, right, you know, I saw that for businesses. More.
Exactly. So the cars, the people from Holy Green go from house to house, from business to business. They collect those 3 plus 1 small boxes that I told you. They collect all the materials and they all go. Yeah. They weigh them. They scan them. So each one has a barcode. Each home and each business has a barcode.
Γνωρίζει ο Δήμος, γνωρίζει η Πολυγκρίν ποια είναι τα απορρίμματα της Τζέννη, τα δικά μου.
Oh, you can track your own
ways. Yes, actually we have an app. There is an app. And each one has it. It's the Just Go Zero app.
Yeah.
You can see for yourself. Yeah, I have it too. You can see how much organic you collected through the year. You can see how much recyclable, non-recyclable. You can see other people. There is a leaderboard.
Oh.
My house.
I see. So then it shows you, is that month? No, that's yearly.
From the beginning of the program.
Exactly.
So.
Café es orgánico.
Brown are organics, green are recyclable, and the rest non-recyclable.
Yeah,
they eat a lot.
Ξέρεις τι είναι.
Yeah.
Αυτό τώρα είναι, Τζένι. Όσο ζούσε ο παπάς μου που είχαμε τις κότες, τα ζώα, ήταν εκεί. Τώρα, κάτω από το καρπούζι και...
Yeah, they had like when her dad was still living, he had a lot of animals and a lot of plants and food and vegetables and everything. That's circular economy. So yeah, basically what they do is they collect everything, they weigh it, they scan it, and they load it, and they go to the circular innovation center. That's how we call it. And there they separate everything manually. Because automatically, mistakes can happen. They separate everything manually. Every little cord, every little plastic, the hard plastic, the Tetra Pak, the soft plastic, the paper, the glass, everything. Πόσες διαφορετικές ροές έχουμε? 27. 27 different lines. 27. So, they're recyclables. 27. And then after they do it, they compact them and they become like big packages, like big packages. Yeah, I said it. And after they compact it, they leave with, usually they told me in the summer, it's every 15 days. Depends on the amount. They leave to be sold in Athens, like with ships.
Εργοστάσια.
2 factories.
What about textiles? Textiles, everything.
Everything.
Το υπόλοιμα, εξήγησέ της.
Then, the non-recyclable is actually recyclable, what it means. They also being compacted into pellets, and they go to be used as renewable energy. It goes to cement company. Yeah, it goes away. The organic, they're being composted. And they are given back to the people to use it, the compost for their agriculture and everything, you know, the gardens.
Soil regeneration.
Exactly.
And to combat desertification on the island.
Maybe. So nothing is thrown away. It's either used, resold.
Και δεν έχουμε θάψει ούτε 1 κιλό σκουπίδια από τότε που ξεκίνησε το πρόγραμμα.
Since we started, we haven't buried a single kilo of rubbish. Nothing.
Bravo! It's very inspiring, and it's what we all need to do. Now, what would you say to some cynical people looking at it from a world perspective to say, but Tilos is such a small island, so obviously you could do it here. When we're talking about larger cities, it's just impossible.
Before I say what the mayor said, I will tell you a quote. I won't change the world by myself, said 8 billion people. So if anyone... if every each one every one of us thought this way, oh, I'm one person, I can't change the world, nothing would ever change. If every island, if every mayor would think this way, nothing would ever change. So if each Tilos, each small island, each small place does a little something, there's a big change in general. And an example, what the mayor just wanted me to tell you, is that Tilos Project is now bought and transferred to Dubai. Abu Dhabi is going to do our project in a very, very, very larger scale. So, mm-hmm. see, that's change. Yep. We affected change. We brought change. Little Tilos brought change.
So Abu Dhabi θέλει να γίνει Tilos.
They want to be Tilos. Abu Dhabi wants to be Tilos. And soon it's not going to be only Abu Dhabi. So if you give a good example, others will follow.
Agreed. Couldn't agree more. Now, with both the renewable energy project and the circular economy, you had to navigate the government bureaucracy. And in order to do that, you decided maybe it was better to simply eliminate the government bureaucracy from the circular economy and go with a public-private partnership. How have you navigated these public-private partnerships so that the companies do not impose upon the people just for profit, but that you work together for the sustenance of your people and your economy, and you don't have to deal with that ridiculously, interminably slow bureaucracy from the government?
There was cooperation with the government. On this part, they helped. There was good cooperation.
Ευτυχώς, σε αυτό το κομμάτι υπήρχε συνεργασία πρώτος και δεύτερος βαθμός τοπικής αυτοδιοίκησης.
So it was actually not with the higher governmental parts, but at the first and second degree of local authorities, there was good partnership, good cooperation. They supported the whole project and they helped where they could, yes, at least with the navigation with bureaucracy.
Και μετά, από 1,5 χρόνο που λειτουργήσε σε ένα πολύ μεγάλο κομμάτι το πρόγραμμα, το Zero West, στη Τίλο, το αγκάλιασε η κυβέρνηση.
And a year and a half later, after they saw it was working, then the government embraced it.
Κοίταξε. Δεν θέλω, Αλεξάνδρα, δεν θέλω να είμαι άδικη.
I don't want to be unfair.
Okay. Τα, η χώρα μας, η Ελλάδα, έχει, στη χώρα μου έχουν επιβληθεί πολλά πρόστιμα από την Ευρωπαϊκή Ένωση, την Ευρώπη, για την κακή διαχείριση των απορριμμάτων της.
We, in our country, we have received many fines from the European Union for our bad management of waste. We have received many, okay, many fines.
Σου είπα, δεν θέλω να είμαι άδικη.
I don't want to be unfair.
Okay.
Told you.
Λοιπόν, όταν σου είπα κάτι πριν, εδώ στο τοπικό, το συμβούλιο του Δήμου, κάποιοι είπανε λευκό. Δεν παίρνω την ευθύνη.
Like I told you before, even at the local council, some said, no responsibility, I'm just present, no, yes, no, no. So they didn't want to risk it.
Πολύ, πολύ περισσότερο, λοιπόν, κάποιοι άνθρωποι που βρίσκονται σε θέσεις ευθύνης και έχουν να διαχειριστούν όλη την Ελλάδα, που δεν γνωρίζουν τον τόπο, τους ανθρώπους, λογικό είναι να είναι επιφυλακτικοί.
So it's natural that people in higher ranks of the government that have to deal with a lot of places, a lot of islands, a lot of villages, and they don't know our place, our people, what we think, what we do. They were afraid. They were afraid of embracing it. They were afraid of the responsibility of something not working. So it took them some time.
Γι' αυτό, επειδή η περιφέρεια μας ξέρει και τον κόσμο εδώ καλύτερα, έχει πιο κοντά μας και έχει παρακολουθήσει και τα έργα που έχουμε κάνει, γι' αυτό και μας στήριξε. Γιατί μας στήριξε η περιφέρεια.
So the regional authorities, the South Aegean, they supported us because they know us. They know the place, they know us, they know the people, and they know what we can do. So they were the first to embrace the project and support us. Yeah. It took longer for the higher ranks to actually see.
Και χωρίς τη στήριξη της περιφέρειας δεν θα μπορούσαμε να γίνουμε.
And yeah, and without the support of the regional authorities, we wouldn't be able to do.
Ακόμη και ιδιωτικό.
Even with the private sector in it, we still couldn't do it without their support.
Αλήθεια είναι αυτή.
So yeah, we have to be fair.
So let's talk about Surridge. How is the government, how have you had to navigate the government bureaucracy to do something on the island that really should be autonomous? You should have the power, just like we were talking about with energy, that even though you have an autonomous grid, it is connected to cost, but it could be autonomous, then yet you still pay very high energy prices because of the way that the energy system is structured. Now, with respect to developing your sewage system on the island, how has the bureaucracy impeded those efforts?
At the beginning, there was not a big problem. In those islands with not many inhabitants and before the peak of tourism, the sewage was not a problem because each person had their own septic tank. And it was enough. We didn't have many tourists, not many people. So the whole system with the private septic tanks was enough, was okay. So the last 15 to 20 years when the tourism started having a big development, and of course even the inhabitants here are more, think that in the 90s we were registered 270 people and now we are registered close to 900, 880 or something. So the needs, of course, are bigger. And now it started the whole sewage to be an issue. So when I first became mayor in 2012, in between the other problems, I faced the sewage problem. And I started researching and looking at it and how I would go about it. The thing is that, of course, for a project like that, a lot of money are needed, like millions. So, of course, there has to be some kind of funding. Greek funding, European funding, some kind of funding, because it's a lot of money. And, of course, as a municipality, no municipality can support it. And I started looking. But the thing is that up until today, for the municipalities that have fewer than 2,000 people, a sewage system, a bio sewage system, is not a must. That says European law and Greek law. So even until today, we don't have to do it. That's why they don't include us in funding, because it's not necessary, it's not mandatory. So since it's not mandatory, we can't find fundings.
Οπότε λοιπόν μπήκαμε σε μια άλλη διαδικασία μαζί
με with other co-workers and other people on other small islands, we tried to find another way. We found funding to do a study that would allow us to transfer with a tank, with a truck to a compact biosystem. We would transfer the sewage there, and there from that the water would come out usable, not drinkable, but usable for, you know, for the lands and vegetables and gardens and everything else.
Αυτή η προσπάθεια είναι σχεδόν 10 χρόνια.
It goes on for 10 years now.
Τη χρηματοδότηση την έχουμε περίπου 8 χρόνια. Είναι έτοιμη η μελέτη. Έτοιμη η μελέτη.
So the funding is for 8 years now. We have the funding for 8 years now. The study is ready.
Έχουμε εξασφαλίσει και την χρηματοδότηση για την αγορά, για την προμήθεια του κόμπακ.
So, like we said, 8 years already the funding. The study is ready. We have even found a place to put the compact. We have even the funding to buy the compact. Everything is ready. But for 2 years now, the biggest problem is to get the permit on where to put from the government, from the ministry, for the place that we need to put the compact. We know the place, but we can't get the permit. And why? This is a problem that many places in Greece have. They are not architecturally planned correctly. Like with there is no plan that says, here you can build your stores, here you can build your houses. There is no specific plan. So in order to get permit on where to put the sewage system, it's already going on for 2 years to get that permit. And that's why I am furious, and that's why the people on this island are furious, because we have everything we need. We have the funding, we have the study, we can buy the compact, we have the place, we have everything. And for 2 years, we're fighting for this one permit. And they have to do, we have to do a specific addition to the law, 4 lines, like she says, 4 lines, a small addition to the law so they can give it to us. So we're waiting 2 years for this 4 lines.
Oy.
Yeah.
Ωραία, ε?
Καλά. But you've had more luck with the freshwater system here and delivering fresh water to people. Islands have a problem with fresh water. Some people have water filters, but a lot of people rely on plastic water bottles, and that's not only expensive, but of course it damages the environment. And so I'm wondering how you deal with the freshwater system on the island.
She just said, yeah, okay, we buy two. Do you drink water in the US from the tap?
Yes.
Στην Ευρώπη, κανένας δεν πίνει από τη βρύση.
In Europe, that rarely happens, almost never, to just use tap water without being filtered or anything.
Ναι. Εδώ το χρησιμοποιούν κάποιοι το δίκτυο και πίνουν, ειδικά το χειμώνα, που είναι το νερό το οποίο έρχεται στις δεξαμενές μας είναι κυρίως από πηγές.
So, in the winter, especially in the winter, many people use it. The tap water, because it becomes mainly from natural springs. Mm-hmm. In the summer, of course, the demands are higher. Mm. So it's not only from the springs, it's also rainwater. And so they don't drink it much in the summer. But in the winter, a lot of people are using tap water.
Προσπαθούμε να λύσουμε αυτό το πρόβλημα.
We try to face the problem, but it's in the general problem of lack of rainwater. We didn't have proper rainwater here for 3 years on the island. That in the coming years, and not very far away, some specialists that deal with resources and stuff, they say that soon the wars are not going to be happening for oil, are going to be happening for water.
Well, they have. The Syrian civil war was in part due to a massive drought. So they already have started, unfortunately.
The good thing about our island is that the young generations, the little kids, already have in them, implanted in them, the whole mentality of the circular economy and what they have to prevent and protect the environment. If you see, you go at our schools, at their play yards, wherever they are, at basketball courts or soccer courts, and where the kids are, you will not see the kids of Tilos throwing garbage, eating something and throwing on the street. Mm-hmm. And you will actually see them, and I have seen it with my own eyes, kids with their own will, just saying, oh, let's go today and clean this beach. Let's go the other day. They do it by themselves without anybody telling them. So that's the good thing.
Αυτό είναι πολύ μεγάλη υπόθεση. Το ίδιο λοιπόν τώρα προσπαθούμε.
The same thing with the younger generations we try to do now with the water. We try to make them understand that the natural resources are not endless and that we are in danger. And we didn't need we have some events and some actions. Actually, we had one a month ago. It was called The Water Is In Our Hands. And we delivered through an organization and partners, we delivered to each home and each hotel or rental specific kits for water saving, for the shower, for the kitchen tap, for everything. We delivered, and they actually went through seminars and through games with the kids to teach them how we can save water. So it's one thing now, the next step we're trying to do, since they learned about circular economy, they learned about recycling, they learned about the energy, now we're teaching them about water. So it's one step we're taking to save water and see what we can do furthermore.
May I have two more questions?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. We've been talking about the environment on Telos and climate change and also environmental literacy, which is very important. Now, Telos is an island, and so there are lots of things that go with that. For instance, you need boats to come here, right? You have, I think, a helicopter pad, but no airport. And so Greek ferries are dirty. They run on diesel. I know there's a plan to get them to transitional fuels, LNG, and there are some more ambitious programs for hydrogen boats or smaller ferries can be electric. So I'm wondering what you have heard about cleaning up the ferries in Greece and whether we can clean up Greek seas.
You just hit a vein.
Είναι κάτι το οποίο το παρακολουθώ από το 2012 και το προσπαθώ από το 2012.
It's a dream for her. Yeah.
Έχω μιλήσει με ευρωβουλευτές της χώρας μου.
I've been following the subject for many years now. I have been in touch and with people from the European Parliament, from our Parliament, people that deal with those things. The difficulty is that, of course, without European funding, this cannot happen. But European funding, it's almost impossible to happen for this kind of business. It's almost impossible. In Greece, we have a problem with ferries and boats in general. They are all very, very, very old. They shouldn't be used. And they don't make any new boats. And the European Union gives funding for ports again and again and again. And she actually, during DG Regio, she put the question, you give money for ports to do them what when we don't have boats? It's not that we don't have clean boats. We don't have any newer boats. They are so old that they shouldn't be out in the seas.
Mm. Δώστε, αφού επενδύει η Ευρωπαϊκή Ένωση, επενδύει
σε νέες τεχνολογίες. I told all these people, why don't you give money instead of giving it for ports, since you are so much about clean energy and biodiversity and sustainability and why don't you give money for new boats, technology, cleaner energy and everything else? There is always a way. Okay, I can understand it's difficult. You want to put the governments inside the program. You want to put the local authorities inside. Find a way and just do it. I just don't understand why it's not possible.
Ήμασταν στο σχολείο όλα μαζί τα παιδιά.
I put in touch an ex-Greek European Parliament member, Mr. Kokkalis, with the team that actually did our Telos project, to talk about this specific subject and see what they can do about it. Nothing has happened here in our region, but I just heard, without having double-checked it, I just heard that something is going on in Crete, that they're doing something within this subject. But she's not sure yet what is going on. But yeah, it's a big problem. Yeah, we hope. It's actually a big dream of her. She wants to see that
here on our island.
Yeah, I don't mind that Telos is the first that actually researched and hunted the whole issue. It just matters that it happens.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter who does it first.
Yeah.
It matters that it happens.
We do it mazit. We do it together, right?
Yeah.
Telos is not just go zero hero. Telos has been a hero in other areas, in social areas too. It seems that Telos is the first mover. So, for instance, we talked about Telos being the first European renewable energy island, the first zero waste island in the whole world. But in 2004, Telos rebelled against the Greek law that didn't allow, against the human rights of the European Union, to allow people to marry each other, no matter what their sex was. And I believe that the previous mayor in 2004 married two couples. I'm very impressed that Telos, again, was the first mover in marriage equality.
Καλή πρωτιά η Τήλος, κοινωνικής μορφής, λέει.
Το 2008.
It was 2008.
Oh, 2008.
2008.
I don't have my facts right now.
Δεν ξέρω στο τίποτα μιλία. They are registered, actually, here.
Oh.
We have them here registered since their marriage. Yeah, on the marriage book. And actually, the past mayor was her brother-in-law. Like her husband's brother. He was a doctor and he came in 1983 on Telos. He was sent here to do his medical practice. He just finished. And
δηλαδή να μείνει 9 μήνες.
So he was supposed to stay like 9 months, a year maximum.
Και να φύγει.
And go.
Όταν όμως ήρθε στο νησί και είδε
so he saw that the island was dying and he saw the situation here that there was no bakery, there was no pharmacy.
Ήταν δήμαρχος ο πατέρας μου.
And back then, mayor was her father.
Τρελάθηκε.
He used to hang out also with her dad, that was the mayor, because they were also from the same political mentality and political party back then. So they hang along and they started working together. So Tasos Aliferis decided to stay on Telos.
Για μας ο Τάσος, εγώ ήμουν 13 χρονών όταν ήρθε στην Τήλο.
I was 13 when he came.
Εμείς μέχρι τότε νιώθαμε ότι είμαστε τα παιδιά ενός κατώτερου Θεού.
We felt that we were, until then, I was a child, so we felt that we were the children of a lesser God here.
Ήμασταν 270 άνθρωποι.
270 people on the island.
Αλεξάνδρα, έχω δει πολλούς ανθρώπους δίπλα μου να πεθαίνουν αβοήθητοι.
I have seen people next to me dying helpless.
Είμαι γεννημένη το 1970.
And I'm born in 1970.
Δεν κατάφερα τελείωσα το σχολείο.
So, think about it. We had no bread. So, no bakery, no bread, unless the moms, the grandmas were doing it. We had no doctor, no pharmacy, no medication, no teachers, no playgrounds. Nothing. We had nothing. And the ship was going once or maybe twice a week.
Μας είχαν εγκαταλείψει όλοι.
We were abandoned from everybody.
Οπότε, εμείς γι' αυτό αισθανόμασταν.
We felt we don't matter. We felt neglected.
Το 80% του πληθυσμού ήταν γέροντες.
80% were like elderly.
Από 70 και πάνω.
70 and up.
Όλα μαζί τα παιδιά 25.
School kids were in total, like from all grades 25.
Και στα δύο τα χωριά.
Yeah, like in the whole island, on both villages.
Γάμοι δεν γίνονταν, γεννήσεις.
No marriages, no births.
Με το που τελείωναν το δημοτικό έπρεπε να
φύγουν. Oh yeah, no high school, so as soon as they finished, they had to leave the island.
12 χρονών.
12 years old.
Όταν τελειώνουν το δημοτικό, έφυγαν την οικογένεια.
In most cases, when you were 12 years old, the whole family had to leave, had to move, because you had to go to school. In some cases that the parents couldn't, you had to leave your mom and dad behind at 12 years old in order to go to school. She left at 14, just to be educated, just for basic education.
Ήταν πάρα πολύ δύσκολα. Ήρθε λοιπόν ο Τάσος εδώ το 83.
So Tasos came in 1983, he was a visionary, a very gifted person, like I said. And he tried to make us see Telos through his eyes, how Telos could become in 20 years if we all work together, how it could develop, and how and he would tell us that we are not the kids of a lesser God. We are blessed to be here on this beautiful place and how we can develop that. So me and the kids my age, and most of us are still here, we followed his vision to do Tilos the way it is today. That's him. And that's for dad.
Oh.
They were ahead of their time, both for dad and Tasso Aliferis. They were really ahead of their time.
Ήταν πολύ μπροστά από την εποχή τους και οι δύο. Και
they tried a lot to develop the island, but also they were chased a lot by people that couldn't see their vision. You know, short-sighted people always said, no, no, no. So they had a lot of opposition, let's say, but they never gave up.
Φαντάσου λοιπόν εγώ που είμαι και γυναίκα.
So think that plus, I'm a woman. All that, plus I'm a woman.
Yeah.
Και είμαι η πρώτη γυναίκα δήμαρχος της Τήλου.
She's the first woman, a female mayor of Tilos, but also the longest female mayor in Greece.
It is more difficult for women, for sure, still, unfortunately.
Αλεξάνδρα, μας πέρασε πια μια
φιλοσοφία συνάδελφης. So, we are of the mentality. What matters in this life? What's the first priority? People, human, and their happiness. And how can a person be happy if they live in an unhappy, unhealthy environment? They cannot be happy. So that's our motivation. In order for people, and if you research, you will see what we also do with migration, the whole migration wave, and we still do with migration. We just had 60 more people last night.
I did want to ask about that, yeah, because the refugees...
We can talk about every other day. We have 60, 50, 40. These days, it's crazy. The whole month, we had more than 200, I think. It was crazy. But if you research Tilos and the big migration wave, you will see what the media said about us. And the basic thing is that we focus on people. We want them to be happy. So in order for them to be happy, they have to have a healthy environment and a future with a healthy environment. And older people don't understand sustainability, biodiversity, circular economy. They understand this. Let's go do something good for our island. And that's what we do. We tell them, let's go do something good for our island. And that's what she was also taught from the previous, from Tasso, from her father. That was the motto all the time. Let's go do something good for our island.
It's a wonderful motto. And when you became mayor in 2012,
yes,
that was a period of high migration as well. How does Tilos handle the situation with empathy?
It was 2013 or 14. It was August, and we had 750 immigrants on the island.
Wow.
More like three times its population, you know?
Yeah.
Back then. The town hall was not working because everybody was there, trying to find solutions to help them with food, with sicknesses, with the kids, and everything else. Each one of us, me included, was there. Back then, the media worldwide wrote about Tilos, the Dream Island, Tilos Paradise, Tilos. They really, really, yeah, a big hug for immigrants. They really... we were on the first page or every newspaper or media because of the way we handled immigration with empathy, with sympathy, with love, with tenderness, with understanding, and not us, like the municipality, us, the people of Tilos, each and every person. We didn't see immigration as a problem. We didn't see it as a threat. We saw it as an opportunity. An opportunity for Tilos to become bigger, to have more kids, to have more families, to have more workplaces, to have more people at work, to have more. we said, okay, we created a program called Estia. It means home in ancient Greek. And we said, okay, we can create houses for 10 families and not communes, not one house for 10 families. Each family would have their own place to live. We created a cheese factory. We created a cheese factory, but not as a private. It was, let's say, semi-public, like they would be working there and actually profit from that. We created a cheese factory called Irina. So primary production, cheese, and sea cheese. You haven't tasted that cheese. There was no such cheese anywhere else. So those families were working there. They were producing something. They were selling something. They had a life. We gave them a life and not just breadcrumbs to live for a day or two. Not just a couple of used clothes for their kids. We gave them a life. We gave them schools. We included them in our community. And we gave them a chance to live again, a chance to move forward. But our government again, Greek government, changed their plans about the whole immigration thing. And we can't do that anymore. And the cheese factory closed. This was a dream for people here. But we don't have people to work it anymore. See, the thing is that since I work very closely with her, so sometimes I know what she's going to say before she says it.
Yeah.
She said the same thing. Research, do some research on Google about migration and Tilos, like I told you before. You really should do that. You will see things that were done here.
And the government prevented you from allowing
people to stay. They just changed their laws, changed their programs, and yeah.
Because we're stronger with diversity. We're better. The community is better being more diverse, and it is. Oh, I did not know that the Greek government. I did know that you had accepted refugees. I didn't know that the government.
I know, I heard the number that in total we had 10,500 immigrants go through here back in that day. 10,500 immigrants went through Tilos. Now, yeah, with what we have now, it would be more than 14,000 immigrants through Tilos.
So Tilos, because immigration is controlled federally, you have no control over it, and you just allowed to treat people humanely and allow them to be transported to Piraeus.
Exactly.
Or...
exactly. That's what happens now. We are not the authorities in charge. Yeah, we're not in charge. We are not allowed to do anything. But from the humane aspect, yes, we try to help. We try to feed them. We try to help them any way we can. And they are being transferred afterwards with boats. But we can't do anything.
So is there one last thing that you'd like to tell our audience?
What can I say? I'm very disappointed. And I don't think I have achieved so much. Honestly, I think I have achieved too little. According to what she would want to do. But, you know, it's like, you know, you have, let's say you have a very expensive car, very fast car, and you hit on the gas, but there's somebody behind you holding it, so you can't move. That's how she feels, and that's how we feel here.
And this is the Greek federal government?
Not only. But, yeah, bureaucracy, laws, everything that stops from people like her, and there are some other people too, that want to do something good to move forward.
Δεν μπορεί ένας ασθενής να έχει καρκίνο και να του δίνει ασπιρίνες.
Yeah, you can't have a patient with cancer and give him aspirin.
No.
Υπάρχουν τεράστια προβλήματα. Υπάρχουν μεγάλα προβλήματα και στην Τίλο.
We're not going to be able to live out in the nature. We're not going to have nature the way we're going. There are big problems, not only on Tilos, in the world in general. And what we do here, yeah, it might be something, but it's like giving aspirin to a cancer patient. Big things have to be done, and all people, all governments have also do something.
Yes. But I believe in a ripple effect, and what you are doing here is so admirable, and people can see what you're doing and the results that you have. Not only protecting the environment, not only reducing emissions, not only teaching environmental literacy, not only in how you show empathy to people fleeing conflict and environmental degradation in their homes, but in understanding that we have planetary boundaries, that we need to be working together, that we're stronger together, this ripple effect in incentivizing other people, showing that this can be done. It's like you said at the very beginning, if 8 billion people say, well, one person can't change anything, then, Jenny, sorry, you said that.
Mine.
Well, you know, I'm sorry, Jenny. It's like when you said, Jenny, if one person if 8 billion people in the world say, Maria, what Jenny said, if 8 billion people in the world all say, well, I can't change anything, then no one will change anything. But together we can change.
And maybe her results will not be seen now, but I think in 10 years, somebody will say, you know what? This whole thing started from that person back there. So yeah, I think she wants more. You see how she wants more.
Oh, I see she wants more. And it's very admirable. And that's what we need of true leaders that don't just want to look at themselves in the mirror and on Instagram and pat their back, but keep working for the people and with the people. And inspire people.
During this period, she feels like a dog chasing its tail because there are a lot of things going on. She can't find solutions to any of those. And she's like, you know, a bear in a cage. And she's always like that because she's trying, she's fighting, but it's like chasing her tail. And she's in a very difficult period. Yeah, right now at this phase, I'm disappointed. I'm angry, I'm sad, I'm mad. Sometimes I want to scream, sometimes I want to yell. Sometimes I'm going to go hide in my bedroom and never come out. I'm about to burst. I'm about to burst from all the things that are going on, and I keep on hitting blocks. I try to find solutions, and I keep on hitting blocks.
I think a lot of leaders might feel the same way, and maybe if leaders got together and connected that energy and that will to improve our environment and improve our society and work together, we can achieve things. Because with apathy, we've lost. We have to stay positive.
Look, let me show you something. Let's say you are this person, okay? And you try to do things. Somebody does that. And then you try again. You get up and they do that. And again and again and again. At some point, you're tired. At some point, you are tired. Look at that. Because you try to do good, not for yourself. You try to do good for your people, and I mean your people, the place you live, your people, Greek people, European people, and, you know, it expands. You start small. You say, okay, I will do my part. But when you keep on hitting walls, keep on hitting blocks, and help seems to be coming from nowhere, and it's like you're fighting alone, and you have people always the negative people or the toxic people saying, oh, yeah, she does nothing. Oh, yeah, she does this. She does that. Of course, she or any leader will make mistakes. What I always say is that the only people who don't make mistakes are the people that do nothing. So if you do something, you were going to make mistakes. But instead of the big fish supporting the little, they try to eat the little. And there comes, she's, like I said, 12 years a mayor, 12 years with this bureaucracy and laws and regulations who don't let her two things, good things.
And yet, even with that, we have renewable energy, we have a circular economy, and you've managed to treat people with empathy, and you've inspired people. And I think that when you know, it is a lot, and I can see that you take this on personally. These are not just business challenges you face. This is not just you in your role as mayor. This is you with your whole heart trying to protect people.
But she says, I'm not a politician. She says, I'm not a politician. I'm a person who loves your island.
That's you're a person who loves your island and your people, and then you inspire people, and then at a certain time, what happens is that somebody comes and says, thank you.
You know, she inspires people so much that some people that have moved through the whole world decide, because of her, to come and move to Tilos. Like me, right now we have 84 school kids on the island. So it's a big thing. It's a big thing comparing to how Tilos was.
Maria, Jenny, ευχαριστώ πάρα πολύ.
Ευχαριστώ πάρα πολύ.
We thank you.
I hope you have found this podcast insightful and will join us next time as we explore more issues affecting our environment and human rights at home and around the world. For more materials on this issue, please go to our website, thegravity.fm.